A very merry Monday, Central Ohio. This is Lindsay, hosting for Youth Beat here on Columbus Community Radio. I'm glad you've decided to pass the evening with me, and I hope I'll make it worth your time. Tonight, we'll be celebrating the nip in the air and the crunch in the leaves. Yes, folks, autumn is upon us, and with it, all of the pumpkin, apple, and harvest-related festivals you could possibly care to go to. Around the world, people are celebrating the change in the seasons with arrays of music, food, and fun that are as colorful and diverse as the cultures that hold them dear. We'll take a spin around the globe to visit the sights and sounds of some of the most prominent and interesting of these celebrations, before circling back to Ohio and honing in on more local festivities. So get ready to go with the smoky sound of autumn in New York, composed by Vernon Duke and sung here by Ella Fitzgerald.
Autumn in New York, why does it seem so inviting? Autumn in New York, it spells the thrill of first nighting. Glittering crowds and shimmering clouds in canyons of steel, they're making me feel I'm home. It's autumn in New York that brings the promise. It's autumn in New York. It's good to live it again.
Autumn in New York. The gleaming rooftops at sundown. It lifts you up when you run down. Yes, gentle ways and giddy voices who lunch at the Ritz will tell you that it's divine. This autumn in New York transforms.
Oddly enough, three of tonight's festivities are located somewhere within the vast stretch of India. Despite that, they are all completely independent and unique, and each of them bears a different meaning. We'll start with the biggest and most well-known of these three, Diwali. On the Hindu calendar, there is no day more important than Diwali. This celebration of light and cleansing also marks the Hindu New Year and begins on November 11th, lasting 5 days, during which there is much to do. Businesses shut down, government and schools close, and all of India is adorned in eye-catching bright colors. But most importantly are the lamps. Doorways, tables, steps, almost every available surface plays host to a diya, a small lamp. They can be plain or painted beautifully, but their purpose remains much the same: to light the darkness, expel evil, and bring good fortune into the coming year. During this time, Hindus hope to attract Lakshmi, the goddess of prosperity, into their homes, and they do everything they can to make her feel welcome. Homes are washed, bowls of sweet-smelling flowers are laid out, and intricate patterns are made on the floor using colored sand and a diya. Prayers are chanted to the goddess every evening, and a general feeling of happiness and friendliness prevails in the air. But Diwali is not only a celebration of the new year. It's also a homecoming party. A homecoming for whom, you ask? None other than a king. Rama, one of the primary Hindu deities, is the ideal husband, father, and son. Intelligent and kind, it was easy for his father to appoint him the crown prince, much to the delight of nearly all the people. But as the word nearly indicates, not everyone was excited by the prospect of Rama taking the throne. One of the queen's servants disliked the boy and decided to turn the queen against her own son. Poisoning her mistress's mind, she convinced the queen to have Rama exiled from the land. Even though her husband loved Rama and was unwilling to comply with the request, he had promised his wife two favors years ago when she had saved him from death. Thus, the young prince and his wife were banished to the forest for 14 years. At the end of those 14 years, the kingdom rejoiced. His brother, who had been holding the throne for him, encouraged the people to celebrate, and celebrate they did. Parties were thrown, feasts given, and every last person welcomed Rama as their rightful king. The joy of the day is relived every Diwali, when carnivals are thrown and street fairs set up, and Rama's return is celebrated with a magnificent display of fireworks. Speaking of fairs, one of the world's largest occurs in Pushkar, a city of around 15,000, perched on the edge of a small lake in Rajasthan, India. Every year, this gleaming oasis plays host to the five-day Pushkar Camel Fair, which sees the city's population expand nearly 13 times its normal size, housing 200,000 for the course of a week. Along with the people come livestock. Cattle and horses are brought out to show, but the spotlight really falls on the camels. Estimates vary on how many camels are present each year, but for the most part, people place it somewhere close to 50,000. And yes, folks, if you're doing the math, that is four times the human population that lives in this city permanently. The animals are adorned in bright colored outfits and painted in a startling array of expressive and skillful patterns, all to show off who is the biggest, strongest, or most beautiful there. The fair opens every year with a camel race, which, to those of us who see camels as a rather lumbering beast, may sound humorous, but don't let those big eyes and swaying gait fool you. Camels can reach up to 40 miles per hour in short bursts, and can maintain a steady speed of 25 miles for longer periods of time, so the race can get pretty intense. And that's not the only competition. Over the years, the Pushkar Camel Festival has added a number of wacky contests for their human participants, including the longest mustache competition, which seems pretty self-explanatory, and the clown car competition, where as many people as possible try to fit themselves onto a camel. For foreigners only, there's the turban tying competition, which I'm sure has to be a local favorite. There's even a camel beauty competition, though I'm not really sure what the standards are to become Miss Pushkar Camel. Aside from the animals, there is plenty else to see and do. A vivid parade of musicians, acrobats, snake charmers, and other performers provide plenty of entertainment, if you get bored of the camels, that is, and makeshift shops set up all along the street. Brightly colored textiles and jewelry are sold, and it's not just all for people. You can get everything from decorated harnesses and saddles to tassels and trinkets for your favorite beast of burden. Over the years, this has become an exceptional tourist destination, and the city of Pushkar has done a splendid job keeping up with the ever-growing crowd of visitors. Aside from the usual hotels, they offer tented resorts for their guests to stay in, and provide high-end dining to boot. Packages are available that show travelers all there is to see, and you can even pay to take a hot air balloon ride over the entire city. Seeing all of that color and activity sprawled out below you is supposed to be a lovely sight, and has become one of the fair's biggest hits. And then there's Toku Imang, the smallest but most long-lived of these Indian festivities. Kicking off on the 7th of November, at least it does this year, and lasting 9 days, Toku Imang is a post-harvest festival celebrated by the native Lotha tribe. It is a time of unity for all the participants, and celebrates a harvest well done. During the 9 days, every role in the harvest is recognized as important and integral to a good crop, from the planting of the seeds to the tending of crops to the hard work of hauling them in from the fields, and everyone who played a part in these roles is appreciated. Tradition comes out in its finest during these 9 days, as rhythmic and chanting folk songs are performed, complete with harmonic vocals and unique, lively costumes that are full of striking reds, blacks, and yellows, adorned with strings of beautiful beads. As with the Pushkar Camel Festival, the activity has drawn a large visitor population, and stadium-style bleachers are often set up to accommodate the curious crowds. Locals have embraced these visitors, and seem to delight in showing off their intricate skills and the finer points of their culture. Along with amazing performances, the food is said to be out of this world. The entire community helps to prepare a village-wide feast, which everyone sits down and enjoys together, amid much laughter and talk. Toku Imang also sees the exchange of presents and sweets by friends, family, and other loved ones. A small way to express the gratitude you feel towards them and to spread the cheerful, gracious spirit of the holiday.
nothing special. In fact, I'm a bit of a bore. If I tell a joke, you've probably heard it before. But I have a talent, a wonderful thing, 'cause everyone listens when I start to sing. I'm so grateful and proud. All I want is to sing it out loud. So I say thank you for the music, the songs I'm singing. Thanks for all the joy they're bringing. Who can live without it? I ask in all honesty, what would life be without the song? My dance, what are we? So I say thank you for the music, for giving it to me. Mother says I was a dancer before I could walk. She says I began to sing long before.
Welcome back to Youth Beat here on Columbus Community Radio. That was ABBA's Thank You for the Music. This week we've been talking about the harvest and the many ways that it's celebrated around the world. We've just finished a tour of India and now we're heading to Italy, where they spend a few days every fall celebrating one of the many things their country is famous for. Olive oil. Of all of the olives grown throughout the world, Italy's are up and away considered the most exquisite of the lot. The unparalleled climate of the region, combined with some special care, produces just about 25% of the world's olive crop per annum. Some of these olives get pressed into nearly 600,000 tons of olive oil, and that is where Olive Agando finds its place. Held in late November, Olive Agando celebrates Italy's proud olive oil heritage and brings every person involved in the process together. Growers, producers, sellers, and the plain old olive oil lovers gather to sample and enjoy the many fruits of Italy's labors and show off their products too. Seminars and taste testings are held, and there are crafts and activities, and in some places, a medieval-style dinner is thrown. The best of the year's olive oil is set aside to be shipped strictly within the country. But of course, there's far more than just olives to enjoy at Olive Agando. All of Italy's culinary artisans turn out to enamor the crowds with everything from wine to almonds to truffles, smoked meats, and more. For 2 days, the country feasts on its finest products and shares pride on the fact that its country produces such fineries. Moving even closer to home, we'll hop a flight to Mexico, just in time to celebrate La Dia de los Muertos, in English, the Day of the Dead. Now, the name in and of itself is a tad misleading, because the festivities actually last 3 days, starting on October 31st and ending on November 2nd. As you might have guessed, La Dia de los Muertos celebrates the dead. At first glance, it appears to resemble something of an American Halloween, but the two holidays are drastically different. Unlike Halloween's dark, sometimes macabre nature, the Day of the Dead is a colorful, cheerful celebration steeped in remembrance. Instead of styrofoam tombstones and plastic decorations, brightly painted sugar skulls, cheerfully dressed skeletons, and huge bouquets of bright flowers decorate all of Mexico, setting the mood for one of its most popular celebrations. For 3 days, families all over the country remember departed loved ones with small gifts left on graves. While adults are typically left beer, children's graves are adorned with toys and tokens to their short life. Altars are set up in the homes, then piled with the favorite food and drinks of the deceased, in hopes that they will come pay a visit. But Dia de los Muertos is not a time for staying at home, and instead of waiting for the dead to come to them, many people choose to go to the dead. For 3 days, cemeteries are full of people, live ones I mean, who picnic and party on the graves of loved ones. They spend the time relaxing and exchanging stories of those they have lost, choosing not to mourn the passing, but to celebrate the life. It reminds me very much of a Dr. Seuss quote, "Don't cry because it's over, smile because it happened." And now we've come full circle, back to the cool and the color of autumn in Ohio. I think we really underestimate our little state. Maybe it's just because I'm a college student, but I constantly hear people complain about how they can't wait to get out of Ohio. To be honest, I'm not really sure what puts so many people in this mindset. I love Ohio and everything about it. I think it's great that we experience all four seasons, albeit sometimes all in one day, and that we boast a high number of astronauts and presidents. We're a tapestry of landscapes and cultures, and we're packed to the gills with history, too. But despite all of this, I always hear people whine, "But there's nothing to do here." Wrong, 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 so very, very wrong. Just because a carnival doesn't set itself up in your backyard, that doesn't mean there's nothing to do. In fact, Ohio is teeming with fairs and exhibitions, especially this time of year. Our rich soil and flat face, thank you glaciers, makes for some amazing farmland, and communities all over the state spend the autumn months celebrating and showing off their harvest. So in honor of our great state, and to help inform all of you naysayers out there, we've dedicated the last part of tonight's show to the fall festivals found all over Ohio. Some of these are local too, so if you're looking for a great weekend activity, take notes. Just half an hour outside of Columbus, Circleville, Ohio is a town of about 13,000 people, who value the hominess and tight-knit feeling that their community promotes. They also value pumpkins, so much so that they have an annual festival honoring them. The Circleville Pumpkin Show is a full 4 days devoted to gourds and goodies, with fun for all ages. There are baking competitions full of pies, cakes, and cookies, flower competitions full of bright blooms and sturdy autumn flowers, but vastly more unusual, the Giant Pumpkin Contest. I mean, after all, what's a pumpkin fest without giant pumpkins? Last year's winner was a 1,964-pound monster, and if that doesn't sum up this festival, then I don't know what will. But aside from pumpkins and produce, there is still a great deal to do. Music fans will love the wide array of bands that flock to the festival, from string quartets to full brass arrangements to solo guitar and vocal acts. There are dancers, too, including a wide array of clogging groups, which seems a bit odd, but hey, who am I to say? For the more visually oriented, there are fashion shows and even a Miss Pumpkin contest. And for the kids, there are a number of storytellers, arts and crafts, and even a magic show. Have I caught your interest? The Circleville Pumpkin Show runs October 21st through the 24th. If you'd like more information or a schedule of events, check them out at pumpkinshow.com. If you're not a pumpkin fan, you could always check out the Apple Butter Festival in Chatham Township. Food is the real star here, and you had better come hungry. Everything served up is sure to help warm away the cold weather. Chili, bean soup, and biscuits are there, along with sweet apple butter for the sampling. There are also lessons in apple butter making, which is great because apples grow really well in Ohio. You'll be able to find orchards of all size strewn up and down country roads, and most allow you to pick your own. A quick internet search of Central Ohio orchards will reveal more than a dozen within easy driving distance of the city. Lind Orchard is one of the biggest and offers multiple kinds of apples throughout the fall. Schedules for the best time to pick your favorite apples can also be found on the internet, or you could simply call your orchard of choice, which will probably give you the quickest answer. Groveport also has an Apple Butter Day on the 10th. This quirky little festival is full of odd things to do, like a cane pole fishing derby just for kids, a spelling bee, and a Johnny Appleseed impersonator. And of course, there's the usual fare of music and food, too. For a relatively small celebration, it holds a huge amount of personality. Idyllic and friendly feeling, it is as warm and as subtle as the apple butter they love to peddle, which, by the way, comes in pretty copious quantities. They can around 550 jars of it over a one-day period, all of which are for sale at the festival. Oof, imagine that smell. And don't worry, there are plenty of activities for the kids around picturesque Palm Pond, and they all come free of charge. So why not pay Groveport a visit and pick up a few jars of the perfect fall treat? It goes great on everything from toast to English muffins to cinnamon bread and more, and buying local means your money stays close to home.
Fall is here, hear the yell, back to school, ring the bell, brand new shoes, walking blues, climb the fence, books and pens, I can tell that we are gonna be friends. I can tell that we are gonna be friends. Walk with me, Susie Lee, through the park, by the tree. We will rest upon the ground, look at all the bugs we found. Safely walk to school without a sound. Safely walk to school without a sound.
Well, here we are, no one else. We walk to school all by ourselves. There's dirt on our uniforms from chasing all the ants and worms. We clean up and now it's time to learn. We clean up and now it's time to learn.
Numbers, letters, learn to spell. Nouns and books, show and tell. Playtime, we will throw the ball. Back to class, through the hall. Teacher marks our height against the wall. Teacher marks our height against the wall. We don't notice any time pass. We don't notice anything. We sit side by side in every class. Teacher thinks that I sound funny, but she likes the way you sing. Tonight I'll dream while I'm in bed. Silly thoughts run through my head about the bugs and alphabet. When I wake tomorrow, I'll bet you and I will walk together again. I can tell that we are gonna be friends. I can tell that we are gonna be friends.
Welcome back to Youth Beat here on Columbus Community Radio. I'm Lindsay, hosting this evening as we explore some of the fall festivals being held in Ohio. That last song was the charming We Are Gonna Be Friends by the White Stripes. So far, we've stuck pretty close to Central Ohio, but we'll pan out for a minute and focus on a city a bit further away. Medina is about 40 miles outside of Cleveland and is home to Falloween. On October 24th, from noon until 7 p.m., you can enjoy a day structured around the family. Tons of kid-friendly activities and games will be available, and there are costume contests for adults, kids, and pets. It's a come-as-you-please event, and it's free of charge and full of fun. Make a day trip out of it. Enjoy all of the things that the northern part of Ohio has to offer. Up towards Lake Erie, Akron is hosting its 20th annual DeBoard Halloween Festival. On October 10th, from 12 to 9 p.m., that is, the city will explode in a menagerie of Halloween-related fun. An almost endless list of entertainers will be present, singing and swinging on three separate stages. There will be even more vendors, clubs, and hobby groups present, ready to sell their goods or just talk to you about what they love. From pies to jewelry, you'll be certain to go home with something wonderful. Lending an aura of whimsy and magic, wandering performers will be all around, clad in beautiful flowing costumes and intricate well-done makeup. Feel free to wear your costume and enter the costume contest. Or maybe the pizza-eating contest is more your thing. Either way, the DeBoard Halloween Festival is an event you just don't want to miss. All right, folks, our time is winding down here, but I think we have a minute for a quick quote. This week, we turn to the grand nature lover Henry David Thoreau, who had something to say about nearly every season. About the fall, he said, "I would rather sit on a pumpkin and have it all to myself than be crowded on a velvet cushion." This is Lindsay for Youth Beat, coming at you over Columbus Community Radio. Good night.
Skies ahead, yes, I'm on my way.